Yes, as was mentioned, today is the last Sunday of 2019. Can you believe it? I turned 49 this month, and next year I'll be 50, and that's like half a decade. I mean, not a decade, but half a century. You know, people say that the speed of time corresponds to your age, and when you were a child, time seemed to go really, really slow, but as you get older, the time goes faster. So at age 10, the speed of time is about 10 miles per hour, but when you're 50, it's about, 50 miles per hour. So I feel like these days, time goes maybe 4 or 5 times faster than when I was a child. And time seems to go faster during the season, during Christmas and New Year's season. Ideally, at the end of the year, we want to reflect and evaluate, as we look back upon the year, on how we have lived. But since we are so busy during the month of December, there is really no time, and we don't have the energy to reflect or evaluate. But this is the time for us to do some intentional remembering. We want to see and remember how God has been with us and how God has helped us in the year of 2019. Today we want to consider a battle that Israel fought against the Philistines while Samuel was a judge of Israel. The battle was won not because of Israel's superior military strength, but the battle was won because of God's help. The Philistines were too powerful for Israel, but they were powerless against the God of Israel. Let us see how Samuel celebrates the victory against the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 through 13. So the man of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. The ark remained at Kiriath Jearim for a long time, 20 years in all. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. There's a stone, not the historical stone, but just a stone. This battle begins with worship, and it ends in worship. Israel asked God to rescue them from the hand of the Philistines. And after God had delivered them, Samuel set up, a stone like that to acknowledge God's help. So it starts and ends with worship. God had helped his people when they turned away from the idols and served the Lord. The hand of the Lord, it says, was against the Philistines during the lifetime of Samuel, and they could not invade Israel. And Samuel called the stone he set up Ebenezer. It means, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Eben in Hebrew means stone, and Azer is help. So literally it is the stone of help. And that's the title for today's message, Stone of Help. The stone was set up in order to acknowledge God's salvation. But Samuel had another purpose for setting up the stone. It was to be a visual reminder to God's people of what God had done for them. Samuel wanted the people to remember, not just for a few days, not just for a few years, but for decades, for generations, of how God had come to God's to the rescue when God's people humbled themselves before him. Without some object like this, people would soon forget what God had done for them. So whenever people passed by Ebenezer, they recalled, they remembered how God had rescued them from the hand of the Philistines. And it was not just Samuel who was concerned about God's people remembering God's act. God himself was very concerned that his people remember what God had done. There are many, many instances where God commands God's people to remember God's acts. And I just want to point out two of them. And first one is God's command to celebrate the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given for people to rest and worship God. It was to remember God's act of creation, because God had worked 6 days to create the universe, and God rested on the seventh day. But there is another purpose behind the keeping of the Sabbath, and this may be the more important reason. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, 15, it says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So the Sabbath day was meant as a time to remember Israel's slavery in Egypt and how God had rescued Israel from their slavery. And only slaves had to work 7 days a week without a break. If you were a slave, you had no sick days, you had no vacation, you worked 7 days a week. But God had graciously saved them from their slavery, and they are now free. That means they can take a vacation, they can take a break. And that break is the day of Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. They are now God's redeemed people, so they should no longer live as slaves, but as free citizens of God's kingdom. My second example of God's command to remember has to do with the making of a new calendar. After the Exodus, God commanded Israel to remember the Exodus by making a new Hebrew calendar. In Exodus 12, verse 2, it says, God says, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first of the months of the year for you." A slave does not control his time. And therefore, the commandment to establish a calendar can be understood as sort of a declaration of independence as a free person. In the Hebrew calendar, the first month of the year is the month when they came out of Egypt. They start their new year by remembering God's act of great salvation. And that is what we should do as we begin a new year of 2020. We should end 2019 and begin 2020 by remembering God's great act of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, God commanded his people to celebrate the communion, celebrate the Lord's Supper, and that was to remember what Jesus had done for them. We can remember that we too were slaves, not of Pharaoh, but a harsher master called sin. But Jesus, by his death and resurrection, rescued us from the penalty of sin and broke the power of sin. And since we are redeemed, we should live our lives worthy of our freedom. In addition, we should try to see how God has helped us this year, individually, and how God has helped this church. And like Samuel, we can set up our own Ebenezers. Now, why does God command so many times to remember? Why is that remembrance so important? Remembrance of God's help causes us to reflect on God's faithfulness. When we remember God's faithfulness, it prompts us to confess our unfaithfulness. Like the Israelites, we can confess that we have sinned, and then we can turn away from our idols and turn to God. When we remember God's faithfulness, it prompts us to praise and thanksgiving. The Israelites were vulnerable to the Philistines, and they did not deserve God's rescue because they have been unfaithful for decades. And yet, in God's grace, God was faithful to his covenant people. God intervened with thunder to rescue his people from their enemy. And as the Hebrews set up the stone of help, they were filled with praise and thanksgiving. When we remember God's faithfulness, it renews our trust and hope in Jesus Christ. Samuel raising the stone of help was in no way a sign of their final victory, but that up to that point, God had helped them. They would face more temptations, more hardships, and more battles. And that is why Ebenezer was needed for their future. And so it is with us today. Our stories are not yet over. We will face hardships. We will face challenges, even persecutions. But when we remember how God had helped us in the past, it encourages us to keep on trusting and to keep on hoping in Jesus. Next year is our church's 20th anniversary. Our church was planted 20 years ago, and we were a new church development. It's like a church plant status. You're not really a church, but you're like on your way to become a church. And we were a NCD, New Church Development, for a long, long time. So, you know, we were more like an old church development. But by God's grace, about 4 years ago, we became a fully chartered Presbyterian church. And now I want us as a church to do some intentional remembering. And I've asked our elders to share how God had helped our church in the past. So I want to ask our elders to just come up and share one or two ways God has helped us in the past. Should I use this mic or that one? This one. This one? Okay.
Hi, everyone. I just make this quick. Thinking back, like almost 20 years ago, I remember families. There were about 10 families that got together, and we were praying to God about helping us to become a church for the young adults, and that we would become a church that would have service in English rather than in Korean. And so we prayed, and I remember that there are some young adults here that at that time we all gathered around and we tried to figure out what our name should be, and they all helped in coming up with a Cornerstone Church for the name. But what I remember the most is how God helped us through the presbytery. We did not have a pastor then, but he gave us a list of retired pastors that would come and preach to us each week. And so it was good in a sense that, you know, we get to listen to like 5-6 different pastors, you know. And so anyway, that went on for about 7-8 months, and then we finally got a pastor. But also more importantly, we were also looking for a place to worship. And we were worshiping the first month in various community centers in Fremont and in Palo Alto. But God moved the hearts of Union Presbyterian Church in Los Altos. And so we started to have regular worship there. So that was great. And then also, I remember he helped us financially by making us new church development within the Presbytery of San Jose. And he and through the Presbytery and Joy Lee, who I think most of us have met, he helped us apply for a grant for NCD, and we were granted $150,000 at the time, which was a huge amount of money for us at the time. So that kept us going. And remembering all those, we just knew at that point that that God, that we were a church blessed by God, and that even now, you know, I'm 100% sure that God is looking after us. So anyway, that's just my
As I think back to how God has helped Cornerstone, I really am thankful for the two pastors that we've had in different stages of our Cornerstone life, with Pastor Paul and now with our leader and spiritual leader with Pastor Joe. So I'm really thankful that God has really blessed us with two pastors that we needed in different stages of Cornerstone. So we thank you right now, Pastor Joe.
After spending about 5-6 years at Union Church, we wanted to find a worship place where we could worship in the morning time. So we were looking, and also Presbytery was looking for a location. And at one day, we got a news that Presbytery has signed the lease for us without us knowing it. But rent we paid at Union was $250 per month. And this new rent was $7,500. So that was like 30 times what we were paying before. So I was, being in finance committee, I was a little worried. But Presbytery offered to pay $5,000 per month for those lease period. So we had to pay only $2,500 per month. But so that was a good thing. After about a year and a half, 2 years, City of Santa Clara came after us for building use permit for worship place. So that was something we did not have. So fire marshals came and they asked us to vacate the building in 2 weeks. So after 2 weeks, we wouldn't have any place to worship. So at that time, Elder Choi called Elder Ted Brown at the Union Church. And at that time, session meeting has just ended, and next session meeting was several weeks away. And they called an urgent session meeting because of us, and they approved us to come back and be housed in the Union Church. So one good thing is rent went back down to $250. And we were very glad and thankful to Union Church and to God for guiding us in terms of providing us for worship place.
Well, actually, Andrew pretty much said what I was going to say, which is really, we've been really blessed. But I would like to add that it's all in God's time. So we pray, we reach out, we cry out to God for things like we wanted a church of our own. And we stayed at Union Presbytery Church in Los Altos Hills early on, and then we left in September 25, 2005 is when we actually went to that business park in San Jose that Andrew was talking about that the Presbytery found for us. And at that time, we were, you know, overjoyed. We had our own place. We could worship not at 2 in the afternoon, but we could worship when we wanted to, which was great. But after 2 years and after the things that Andrew mentioned, the fire department basically did tell us that we didn't have certain requirements, I guess, for the occupancy and exits and things like that. And we really did have 2 weeks to get to vacate. And we didn't have the money to make the changes anyway, as the rent was a little high. And so, you know, reaching back out to Union Presbytery Church was, I think we were hesitant at first. Hopefully it wasn't pride or anything, but I think, you know, after we left, I don't think we, and this is my interpretation, I don't think we want to feel like, you know, we had to come back. But again, Soo Jin was tasked with reaching out to Union Presbytery Church, and really they were very gracious. We were totally blessed. I can't imagine any a better scenario, because we were actually talking about having services outside in a park because we had nowhere to go. So that was about two years later. And again, like in God's time, we went back to Union Presbytery Church, and another decade goes by. So now it's October 1, 2017, and we end up here. What a blessing. What a true blessing. But again, it's not in our time. It's in God's time. So I think we just all have to realize that we reach out to Him, we cry out to God. It's in His time. He will take care of us. Thank you.
I am thankful for the many things that the elders shared. The thing that I'm thankful for are the membership of the church. From the very young, we see Ari and Tessa running about, to the very old, you know, as well. But also, not just from the ages, but also the new faces that we got to meet among us, each other, as well as the faces that have gone by as well. So God has always filled His house with people who want to worship together, fellowship together, and it's really wonderful to be part of that. So I'm very thankful for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hold on. With the elders. Yes. As our elders have shared, God is faithful. When we remember God's mighty act of salvation and His help for us in the past, our fears can be turned into songs, our groanings into praise, our complaints into thanksgiving. And that's exactly what happened to the author of Psalm 77. His mood in the beginning of Psalm 77 is quite depressing. He felt distressed, troubled, anxious, and feeble. But the turning point in his psalm comes when he intentionally, like we did today, when he intentionally remembers how God has helped Israel in the past. Then the rest of the psalm is filled with praise and thanksgiving. So I want to conclude with a portion of Psalm 77. Will the Lord reject forever? Will He never show His favor again? Has His unfailing love vanished forever? Has His promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has He in His anger withheld His compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out His right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember Your miracles of long ago. I will consider all Your works and meditate on all Your mighty deeds. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let us take time to consider and meditate on how God has helped us this year. How has God helped you? How has God been with you? How has God helped your family? How has God helped our church? And as we do, our hearts will be filled with praise and gratitude.